This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Elizabeth Ramirez, Christy Mayhew, Anna Vasquez, and Cassandra Rivetta. They are the San Antonio Four, convicted of raping Ramirez's two nieces in 1994. And there's plenty of evidence that the convictions were an act of injustice, that no crime was ever committed. And there's movement now to free the remaining San Antonio Four, three. One of them has been released on probation. Former San Antonio Current reporter Mike Barajas has written extensively about the case, and he joins us. And also we're joined by Mike Weir, Fort Worth defense attorney, and he is representing the San Antonio Four. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Weir, I know that we may have to lose you because that you are waiting for a jury to come back on a separate case, but I want to get you in on this before we do lose you. I know there's a lot here. It's a very sensational case, all sorts of crazy talk about Satanism and homophobic conspiracies. But I really think at the heart of this is junk science, and that's really what convicted the San Antonio Four. Talk about a hymen, but that wasn't. So can you kind of talk about that, Mr. Weir?
Sure. The charges against these four women were really preposterous from the beginning, and I honestly feel the only reason anyone was willing to believe the charges, much less pursue a serious investigation, it is because all four very young women were openly gay. I think it made them susceptible or vulnerable to these kind of preposterous charges. Among the evidence that was presented at trial was some purported scientific evidence based on the experts' physical examinations of the two young girls who were making the accusations. And the testimony at trial was that there was, in fact, very strong physical evidence gathered during these examinations that corroborated the allegations that the two young girls were making. And the science has advanced since that time such that we understand now that that testimony was absolutely incorrect. And there, in fact, was no physical corroboration that the accusations these two young girls were making were accurate. And of course, that would have made a huge difference in the trial because the physical evidence was so heavily relied upon because all the other evidence was very, very, very shaky.
The physical evidence that you're talking about that was brought into the trial was would have been evidence of sexual assault, and that was not there.
Exactly.
So let me ask you before we move on, because I'm afraid that we're going to lose you. I don't know about this jury thing that you're dealing with right now. Where are we right now in clearing the names? Are we looking about an exoneration? Are we looking at just having the charges dropped? Or what's happening?
Well, the Bexar County District Attorney's Office has been completely straight up and cooperative in our investigation and in their investigation. And it appears that we are going to reach an agreement for relief based on the inaccurate junk science, if you will, that was offered into trial, back in the 90s. Science has advanced since then. We now know a lot more about that sort of thing than we knew back then, and we know that the very damaging testimony was inaccurate. Now, that means certainly, at the very least, the entire trial process was unfair. I believe that if we do, in fact, get a new trial, and I think we will, and I think it will be with the agreement of the Bexar County County District Attorney's Office that none of these four women will be subsequently prosecuted. An exoneration is traditionally defined as a finding of actual innocence, and litigating our actual innocence claim, which we strongly, strongly are advocating for and believe in, may take a little bit longer. But I anticipate that we will have some significant relief for these four women on this case before the end of the year.
These women have been in prison 16 years.
Well, yes, I guess Elizabeth Ramirez is close to 16 years. The other two are closing in on 15 years, and of course, Ana Vasquez has made parole, but she is still being treated on parole as a sex offender would be treated, with all the limitations therein.
And if they got exoneration, wouldn't they get some sort of compensation from the state?
Well, there is a statute, and if they met the statute, they would get some compensation from the state. That's correct, but once again, simply being granted relief because of they were convicted pursuant to an unfair process does not necessarily guarantee that they would get compensation. And, of course, I think compensation would be sort of the ultimate vindication, kind of the state's apology, if you will, for what was done to them back then.
And it would give them, the means to, you know, to relaunch a life, which was taken away from them.
Absolutely.
So Michael Barajas, former San Antonio Current reporter, I know that you're now up in Missouri doing postgraduate work doing journalism school. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you wrote a 12-page article about this, still online. It seems to be the most comprehensive writing that I've seen about what happened to the San Antonio Four. Kind of start us out here. We're going to hit a break in about a minute and a half, but kind of let's set the scene. What are the San Antonio Four accused of?
Yeah, I mean, there were these four women, as Mike Ware said, they were all gay. That in 1994, they were accused of some pretty horrific things, of assaulting Elizabeth Ramirez's two nieces when they visited one weekend at Elizabeth Ramirez's West Side apartment. You know, just really atrocious things. You know, they were sexually assaulted, and the story sort of went all over the map. But the girls alleged that they were sexually assaulted, you know, with various small objects. There possibly could have been guns or maybe even a knife there. And this was an issue at trial. When you read through the transcripts, that the story seemed to have evolved and changed numerous times.
So it seemed like a horror. The way it was described is like a horror movie, like out of Rosemary's Baby or something. Okay, we're going to take
talk about Wild Red Eyes and things of that nature.
Mike, we're going to take a quick break, just a minute break, but we're going to come right back. We'll continue our discussion of the San Antonio Four and efforts to get them out of prison, and how this happened, and what new laws made this possible. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the San Antonio Four, two women who were convicted of raping two young girls in 1994. But there's growing evidence that shows that these convictions it was an act of injustice, that no crime was ever committed. We were talking to Mike Ware, a Fort Worth defense attorney representing the San Antonio Four. We had to let him go because he's dealing with another trial at this time. But now we have Mike Barajas. He is written about the case extensively for the San Antonio Current. Now, looking back at 1994, the mood of the country when this happened, there had been a lot of these weird satanic type of cases of raping young children in daycare centers. And now we're finding out that, it didn't happen. And this is one of these cases that was swept up into that national mass hysteria. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, one of the strangest elements about this case is these concerns that seem to have popped up first from a local pediatrician. She actually does sexual assault investigations in San Antonio. Nancy Kellogg is her name, Dr. Nancy Kellogg, and her concerns that this could be satanic related when she evaluated the girls. And, you know, she was never able to give this theory in court. The judge essentially ruled it out. But you can see that, you know, the statements that she made sort of at the bench and then even in her examination notes follows this theory of what others have called, you know, the sort of ritual satanic abuse hysteria that really popped up in this country the late 1980s, early 1990s, and you know, other journalists have written extensively about that period. But essentially, you know, law enforcement investigated these cases. Long, costly, sensational trials were conducted, and we found out that almost all, if not all, of these cases were completely bunk. You know, there was no scientific evidence. And so when this case pops up in 1994, it's really sort of at the tail end of that. You know, there was an FBI report. I think the FBI spent something like $750,000 on it that came out 2 years before Nancy Kellogg, you know, examined these girls for signs of sexual assault that essentially dispelled this notion of ritual satanic abuse. So it's pretty striking that this theory came up in this case in 1994, because at that time, most people in her field were not considering it as valid anymore.
And there were reforms that had been put in place, particularly in dealing with children, young children, to prevent the leading of children and so that they would give testimony that they thought would please their questioners.
Yeah, and so in this case, what you see, I mean, Mike Ware referenced this earlier, and I think it's worth repeating that, you know, there was very little, when you look at the trial record, there's very little else to go on, you know, the case against these four women if you take out the findings that there was physical evidence of sexual assault. You know, that played an enormous role in convicting these women, because the only other thing that you had was the testimony of these two, you know, very young girls, which was, you know, frankly, all over the map at some points during this trial. And it's hard to tell how believable that would have been in front of a jury. But when you have a doctor get up and say that there is sign of sexual assault, that there's physical evidence of it, you know, the jury's not going to ignore that. So.
And now the girls are grown up. They're in their 20s. One has officially recanted, and I believe the other has unofficially recanted. She has spoken out, but she has not gone on the record.
Yeah. Well, I know one has recanted to both the Innocence Project, to Mike Ware, you know, and to the media. There's a documentary filmmaker out of Austin. Her name is Deb Eskenazi, and she's been doing some remarkable work on this case and following it for well over a year, and she has on camera this girl telling her that this didn't happen, that my father told me to say it, that I was threatened, that I would face consequences if I ever told the truth about it. But no, you're right. The other girl has not, to my knowledge, come forward to corroborate that story. And so, you know, the district attorney's office, it seems, everybody's sort of stuck in an awkward situation on this case right now, because you have the state agreeing that this medical testimony was fundamentally flawed, and that's huge for these women. But what you also have is essentially half of a recantation, and I really think that that's going to be the issue going forward if we don't see another recantation drop, so to speak. Then that's likely to be an issue moving forward with this case, and the women's fight to be exonerated.
The number to call to join the conversation, if you've got a question or a comment about this case, the San Antonio Four, we'd like to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Mike, the 12-page article that you wrote for The Current on the San Antonio Four came out in November of last year, a year ago.
Yep, a year ago.
And these three of the four have been in prison still. I mean, a whole year has gone by.
Yeah, these things move slowly. I mean, Anna Vasquez was, you know, I spoke to her first in prison, and then about a month later, she was paroled. But I mean, and I don't think you can discount, even though she's paroled, I mean, she's still living under the restrictions any registered sex offender would have to, and so she's Jesus, and I mean, the way she has put it in my conversations with her before when we spoke on a number of occasions is she's out of prison. She's not free.
Right. But still, what has to happen? Of course, there was a new law that started on September the 1st. The legislature had passed in the previous session addressing junk science. And it allows appeal courts to look at new scientific findings and use that in the sense in with this.
Yeah. And I haven't spoken to Mike personally about this, about the recent developments. And I got all the same statements from his office and the filings that were filed in court for the women last week. But it doesn't seem to be a coincidence that these filings were that these papers were filed, about a month and a half after this law essentially took effect. You know, it went into effect in September, and it addresses what happens when the science changes and we convicted people based on what we now know is faulty science. This is a case that's pretty emblematic of that.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones and the phone line to call in if you want to join the conversation, 614-8980. And Gabriel is on the line. Gabriel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. My name is Gabriel Velasquez. I'm the vice president of the Cesar Chavez March for Justice. And Anna Vasquez's mother reached out to us this last year, and they joined us in the march. And I just wanted to make sure that we say out loud here that they're going to find a lot of support in San Antonio for these four, and that we all hope, have our fingers crossed, and are there for whatever support we can loan. One of the things that we really dislike is people having to deal with injustice, and particularly with respect to just people outright lying. And they can count on this organization, but I think they can also count on a great majority in San Antonio that want to see them go free.
So, Gabriel, let me ask you, I don't know if there was outright lying. I know that there was a lot of misunderstanding at the time, but we know better now. Do you think that public pressure would help speed things up? Because it seems like we know that we've known that this was the problems with this case for a long, long time, and yet these three women are still in prison today.
Well, it says a lot about the justice system. We don't have a perfect system. That means that innocent people are locked up, regularly, I'm sure. When people speak out and evidence starts to surface, we have writers like Mr. Barajas there that do a good job at digging in and finding the facts and the inconsistencies. I don't think that it's just a simple case of, finding inconsistencies and the way the case was fought. I think that there is clear evidence that individuals were, coerced, if that's the right word, to retaliating about other things. And it's just outright vengeance. And we see that the justice system can be used, to victimize as well. So it is important that people understand this case so that we are all better educated as to how our justice system works, and that when accountability is needed, that we understand that the injustice of these four, it implicates all of us, particularly those who find themselves, innocent, but in argument situations with people who will not stop at anything to use the system to get their vengeance.
All right, Gabriel, thank you so much for calling in. We sure do appreciate that. So Mike Barajas, a former reporter for the San Antonio Current, why did the girls lie? Why did the victims lie?
Well, and that's another one of the more bizarre things about this case. It really seems like these four women, that were convicted, they seem to be caught, unfortunately, in a pretty volatile family situation that really has nothing to do with them. So Elizabeth Ramirez, it's her two nieces that made these allegations. One of them now, says that she was forced by her father to make the allegations when she was 7 years old. I've spoken to the girl's mother and the girl's attorney, in the past, and both said that she has faced intense retaliation from her father since she recanted. Now, I spoke to her father very briefly before I wrote the story last year, and he, of course, denied those claims. But, the story that seems to have emerged is that this guy, the girl's father, the only reasonable explanation that Elizabeth can come up with is that he made a pass at her one time, and she turned him down, and he became angry. That seems to be the only real explanation that I've got from it. It's also worth noting that when you look at the history of this family, allegations of sexual assault have come out before, you know, the San Antonio Four were first accused and convicted, and they all seem to have happened during custody battles this man was having with his with any of his former wives. So, and even just last year, you know, the girl that has recanted, the alleged victim that has since recanted, she was dragged into court in Houston over a child protective, you know, services complaint. You know, and those are anonymous, so we don't know who filed it, but an affidavit that was filed in that case by CPS outlined allegations that, you know, she and her husband had an altercation while the father was present. And he even got up and took the stand against her to basically have CPS remove her kid from her custody. It was unsuccessful, but that just shows you sort of the family dynamic.
So it's a messed up situation.
Yeah. It's a, like I said, a volatile situation.
But again, it was the physical evidence that really was what sealed the deal with the jury.
And it seems that way. I mean, if you read the trial record, it seems the physical evidence was the strongest thing that was deployed in court that could have.
And now that has been discredited completely.
Right. Well, according to the filings that were made in court, public statements that the district attorney's office has made. Yeah, they all parties agree that the science was flawed.
And so we have these women in prison today. They've been in prison for a while, knowing they were innocent. And now we know probably, you know, from based on what we can tell, didn't happen. Still no time frame on when the state's highest appellate court is going to make a ruling on when they're going to have a new trial. Mike Barajas, thank you so much. Former San Antonio Current reporter, and he's written extensively about the San Antonio Four, and you can find that online. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes, being billed and promoted, endorsed as a safer alternative to smoking tobacco. But is that real? We will find out. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.